Okay, it is Monday. Let's get to Dr. Hanan. Let's see what he can do to help us make our way in a more positive and optimistic fashion towards the start of a new week. How are you, Doc?
I'm doing well. How's your weekend, guys?
Very good. Do you take weekends off, or are you seeing crazies over the weekend as well?
Saturdays I do work till the late afternoon, but Sundays I take off.
Sure. So it's a 6-day week for you, huh?
6-day. Listen, depression doesn't have a break. Depression doesn't have a weekend. So try add as much fat as I can.
We were joking about how Dr. Phil has now got his own channel. He's launched this whole network effectively. And that got us onto talking about him and, you know, these TV doctors in general, and how much of it is just made up for shock and horror and to entertain an audience. But it does lead us to this discussion that I know you've got some stuff to say about today. And that is this idea that people are fighting. They're fighting online. They're fighting in person. Dr. Phil made a big play on Bill Maher's show about how he refuses to be pulled into politics. He says he's not a political guy. And then Bill Maher said to him, but you are. You know, the minute you talk about cultural issues, it's bound to be political. And Dr. Phil was like, no. Because I talk about cultural issues, and those happen to sometimes lead to politics, doesn't mean I'm choosing to talk about politics. It's just that culture comes before politics. And I think that makes a lot of sense. But when you're online, and people are tense in South Africa at the moment, I think they're tense in the world. You know, we've got conflict in Russia and Ukraine. We've got conflict in the Middle East. We've got massive financial pressures on people, the cost of living crisis in Europe, America's huge deficit and inflation problems. People are tense, Doc, and then they go onto social media and they vent.
So people do find this kind of public square on social media, as in the format of social media, to go out and not just give their piece, but become a part of something that makes them feel a sense of belonging, my tribe. So there are two reasons why mainly people go online and spew and ingest venom. One is because I want to see that I'm not the only one that feels the same way. I have my tribe. And two, the fact that other people arguing makes my life seem a little bit better. So when I see other people struggling, suffering, having and being less than me, then it kind of elevates my position and I feel better about my life. How many times have we spoken to anybody, whether it's a close friend or a distant friend, and we see that their lives are maybe much worse than us, which makes us look at our marriage and makes us look at our sense of purpose and our financial security or insecurity, and in comparison, feel much better. We live our lives through comparisons. That's the way it works. We cannot get away from it, you know. So the whole notion of don't compare yourself to others, it's nice in theory, but in reality we are going to, because that is in the contrast we find meaning. That is human nature and that's human psychology. You don't have control over whether you want to compare yourself to others. You have control of who you compare yourself to. So you've got to be very clever in terms of, and very bright in terms of who you compare yourself to, but you're going to compare. So yeah, the whole, we are going to get onto social media. We are going to see other people arguing. We are going to see our tribe go against somebody else's tribe, but you're just going to be very cognizant of what you ingest, because you could be ingesting things that actually make you feel worse.
Yeah. Leanne and I were talking just now about how some people go on there and they really just go on to fight with other people. I mean, even these neighborhood WhatsApp groups, right? And people are sometimes looking for a fight because fighting is their way of feeling noticed, their way of getting attention. It could quite easily be love as well. And I know one of the things we've talked about here is these people who get scammed online because they're so desperate for love that they go online and someone says, oh, I love you. I'm gonna come and fly to see you, but you first got to send me 100,000 rand. And they do. Because they're lonely. They're lonely. And social media has opened up avenues for people to express themselves that were not there before. and frankly were socially unacceptable before. You couldn't just go and stand in the street and scream, "I'm lonely, somebody pay attention to me," because you'd be put in the nut house. Now, of course, yeah. You can do that online, in other words, and nothing happens to you. There's no cost.
But, you know, what I see as a big issue is that we think that we just almost like inject ourselves with bravery the moment we go on social media, because we are behind a screen. We are behind this illusion. We are protected by a glass wall. And, you know, it's like somebody picking their nose in the car because they think nobody can see them. Or we feel that we can pull a zap sign at somebody in our car because we are protected by this metal cage. So we have become a lot braver the moment we are contained around something. And the moment we are behind a computer screen, we feel protected. We feel a little bit more brave. The truth is, Gareth, I mean, you would be the perfect subject. How many people say X, Y, and Z about you behind the screen, but when you meet them in real life, I'm assuming it's a completely different opposite game. I'm sure you receive a lot of love in real life. I'm sure you see a lot of people appreciate what you say, but behind the screen, people find this kind of sense of arrogance, and they feel that they can say whatever they want because it's anonymous and they're not really dealing with a real person. I mean, do you find that in real life versus the screen?
Well, the funny thing is that, you know, I'll be called all kinds of things by anonymous people online, and I've never, ever met anyone. There's never been anyone who's come up to me in public and said, "Oh, you're a son of a bitch," or "I hate you," or whatever. It might be someone who's drunk sometimes and they'll feel a little bit confident, and then they'll come over and say, "I really disagreed with something you said back in 2008. And I'll be like, "Who even remembers that stuff?" Sure. But most people, 90 out of 100 people will be friendly as hell and really, really cool and very nice and fun to talk to. And most of them have something interesting to say. So yeah, it's a totally different. And listen, I don't want us to go down the road that we've gone down before of separating out the virtual from the real life person. I'm interested in what you said just now about comparing yourself, because for most people, that is a big source of consternation and unhappiness. Who should you be comparing yourself to when you're online or in real life?
So it's a really nuanced and complex, it's a simple question, but a really nuanced answer. The truth is you should be assessing what you want to achieve in life. How many times do I say we need to be guided by our goals, not by our feelings? So when I ask 100 people, what do you want? 99 will not know, or 99 out of 100 will just give you a very general answer. I want to be happy. I want to be successful. I want to be, you know, in a companionship. But those are airy fairy answers that just don't really serve the journey. Because if you give a very general answer, well, what are you aiming towards? It's like saying, "I want to reach for the stars." Well, which one? So you've got to be very specific in terms of what you want out of life. And the reason why people don't want to set goals is because one of the reasons is because they fear failure. They feel that they might miss the mark. So they'd rather set very general goals. So, for example, I might want to say, well, my aim this year, my New Year resolution is to lose weight, well, or to become a healthier version of myself. Well, that means nothing. I'd rather you say, what do you want to lose? How much do you want to lose? For what reason do you want to lose? But the reason why people don't want to set those goals is because they fear failure. So who should you be comparing yourself to? You should be comparing yourself to the better version of yourself that's in line with the goal, the same version of yourself that's chasing the goal. So if my goal is to, I don't know, just as an analogy, lose 2 kilograms of weight, blah, 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 I should be comparing myself to the person, my version, that is busy doing that, not to the social media influencer that's, you know, not really portraying a real version of themselves. You must remember, we're talking about social media now. It's not real. What you're seeing is, it's not even a part of somebody's life. It's a made up part of life. It's not real. So comparing your real life to somebody else's imagined life, it's comparing yourself to a fantasy. It doesn't work, and it makes you feel worse.
Could not agree more. So, all right. I mean, this helps with a lot of people and their social media anxieties. Leanne, you look like you got something to ask before I carry on. Give you a gap here.
No, it's just, it's interesting how, we talk about reality versus you know, people's lives that they put on for show. And I was just speaking to Gareth earlier about this Love is Blind series where you set up with these people and you end up marrying them, and how much stuff comes out in social media. You know, we all watch the show and we all create our own opinions. And once it's available to the public, members of the public start coming out saying, oh, I actually dated that guy. He pulled a gun on me. He was abusive. I actually saw that star that married so-and-so. He stole my friend's phone and her wallet. And how the pressure that these people are facing now, yes, they signed up to go onto the show themselves and they signed these contracts. But you can see some of them like breaking down now. Social media is literally ripping into them and they're losing a sense of who they are. Very powerful.
You know, we place these, never mind we see these fantasies, but we almost play into them and expect these couples to be real. We expect the love at first sight. We expect them to happily ever after with no real issues, no real conflict, no real drama. But in reality, listen, the moment you're put on planet Earth, you sign a contract and it says you are going to go through drama. You are going to go through conflict. You are going to go through disappointment. Somebody's going to let you down at some point. Suffering is part of the deal. You're going to go through grief and loss. That is part and parcel of life. And you're going to go through it whether you're alone or whether you're in a relationship. That is, the universe doesn't offer you a deal where that's not part of the deal. That's going to be part of the deal. What's part of the deal is, are you going to do something productive with it and get over it and learn and adapt and become a better version of yourself? Or are you going to let that sink you? And if you're going to, and that's up to you. That's not up to the universe. That's you choose. That's for you to own. And if you don't pick a position, then the universe just picks one for you. So you want to be, you don't want to eliminate those things because you can't. You want to learn how to manage it and move forward. You know, did I ever share with you the donkey and the tiger story? Did I ever share that on the show?
No, go ahead.
This is my favorite story because the punchline and the moral is brilliant, especially for our topic today. So the story is of the donkey is having an argument with a tiger. And the donkey says that the grass is blue and the tiger is saying that the grass is green. So they're going back and forth, the donkey giving his side of the argument while the grass is blue and the tiger saying that the grass is green. They're going back and forth and it's really raucous and it's really violent. It's almost becoming physical. So they decide, look, let's go to get judgment from the king of the jungle. So they turn to the lion and they say, Your Highness, who's right? Me, the donkey that believes that the grass is blue, or me, the tiger that believes the grass is green? And the lion turns to the donkey and goes, You are right. The grass is blue. And he punishes the tiger. And the donkey leaves all smug and happy that he's won the argument. And once a donkey leaves, a tiger turns to the lion and says, Your Majesty, why? I'll take the punishment. I'll take it. But why did you punish me when we both know that the grass is green? And the lion turns to the tiger and says, I didn't punish you because you were right. I punished you because you were arguing with a donkey. And how many of us argue with donkeys, people that add no value to our lives, whether it's social media, how many donkeys are there on social media? When we engage watch things that are donkeys, engage with conversations that are donkeys. You remember, we discussed the coin theory many times. Engage in things that add value to your life. Donkeys decrease value. You want to engage with things that add to your world, not things that take away from your world. And I think the message for this week, and I challenge everybody to not engage with donkeys.
I love it. Love it. We're going to have to leave it there. I just have to throw this in. This is pretty hilarious. Joking Atheist says he's definitely going to confront me on the 13th of June, 2029 about this show today. And I must not look forward to that. I've got to prepare for a real fight, perhaps my first. So I'm getting ready. Thank you, Joking Atheist. Love it. All right, Doc, very good to see you. We will check in with you in a week's time. Lovely. See Dr. Hanan, everybody. Bye. Cheers.